go to the Word of God, and where I'd like you to go this morning is the book of Romans. And just keep your finger in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1, is where we will be. One person can change the world. One person can change the world. Now, I'm not usually in the habit of making you stand up, sit down, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and those scriptures will be right up here, and then you just set your Bible on the table or on your chairs, and then you'll be able to go back to it as we complete this part. But if you'll stand with me, please, let's read the Word of God together. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Out of the Passion Translation. I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. Do first, and then people everywhere. This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. This is what the scripture means when it says, we are right with God through life-giving faith. Read that again, please. We are right with God through life-giving faith. You may be seated. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the richness of your word that literally changes our lives. 500 years ago, Martin Luther, a little-known monk in Germany at the time, nailed 95 theses, truth propositions, to the wooden door of his church in Wittenberg, Germany. That was basically the Facebook of the day. The sound of that hammer was heard around the world. And the strength of his courage as an unknown monk, one man, has absolutely astounded and created a spiritual earthquake that is still reverberating today. We're here as a congregation, standing on the shoulders of a fantastic man of God. Was he perfect? Nope. But a fantastic man of God who was birthed into a revelation from the scripture that literally changes our lives right down to today. Protestants, birthed out of protest, became the Protestants. Those of Protestant faith are radically and fundamentally differently shifted on a foundation of truth that had been allowed to waver and was in fact lost in the church of the day, the Roman Catholic Church, and the wresting from truth and keeping people from truth. And the revelation that Martin Luther saw and got and received literally changed lives. The selling of indulgences was practiced all around the known world from the Catholic Church, where you could come out of purgatory or you could have your sins forgiven based on your good works. And basically, it was a ruse to gain money to build bigger cathedrals or take care of the church. And you could buy your way out of sins. But how many know that's just not true? Come on, church. Somebody's got to say, I know that's not true. Martin Luther's blood boiled, and he could take no more. But he literally was not trying to start a new movement, but to stop the abuse of the old. But a new movement was started, and it couldn't be stopped. We're here to talk about Jesus. Every Sunday morning, he's first, he's foremost. And the fundamental truth that was revealed to Martin Luther in that particular day, 500 years ago, on the 31st, 2 days from now, 500 years ago, the revealed truth changed his life forever, and he couldn't help but share the good news of Jesus with others all around him. And it literally changes our lives right up to today. Allow me to share some of the backstory. Luther's backstory. What you believe, say it with me, church, determines how you'll live. What you believe determines how you live. And what you're persuaded of, what you hold to, what you have seen that is unshakable, literally changes your life. And it did with Martin Luther. He was born in the Dark Ages, the time before the Reformation. The church was full of legalism, polluted by hypocrisy, material greed, sexual immorality, and terrible biblical illiteracy. The Bible was read aloud in a dead language, in Latin, known only by a handful of clergy and elite people. Large crowds would gather every Sunday to hear the word, but what happened instead many times was the selling of indulgences. The hungry in spirit were not fed. Luther was born the oldest of 9 children. His dad was a miner. He paid a lot of money for Luther to go to school. Luther was a brilliant kid, and he wanted him to be a lawyer. But what happened is along the way, he was in that path, but along the way, he had 2 near-death experiences. And the second one, there were lightning bolts literally striking the ground all around him. And he called out to the patron saint after which he was named and the patron saint of miners. And he declared, "I'll become a monk and I'll serve you if you spare me." That's exactly what he did. He was spared. He went on to be a monk, and he had a terrible falling out with his dad, who had been paying all of this money for his education. But for 10 years, Martin Luther went on to try to serve God, but he was angry with God. He could find no peace. He fasted constantly. He tried to live every day perfectly. Anybody in this room ever tried to be perfect every day? "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it today. Today's my day." And then about 10 minutes later, you blow it. If you make it that long, come on. Anybody can tell the truth here? Yeah. Doesn't always last even 10 minutes, maybe just a couple of minutes. And all of a sudden you say or think or do something that, forgive me, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. And he tried and he tried and he couldn't do it. I mean, this guy was so pious as a monk, he would refuse many times even the blankets they tried to cover him with at night. And he literally nearly froze to death many times because he was being pious. Didn't want creature comforts, just wanted God. And he would rage about the abuses of the day and the sins and the debauchery all around him. Martin Luther felt like he was a sinner, and he hated the righteous God who punishes sinners. His spiritual confessor got so fed up and so tired of hearing Martin Luther drone on by the hour about his sins, he tried to lead him to go make a pilgrimage to Rome and it'll lead your spirits up higher. He made a pilgrimage to Rome. All he could see was the idolatry and the sin all around him and all the filth and all the stuff. And he came back worse than ever. And he kept driving his confessor crazy. And the confessor finally turned to him. He said, "You need to go study the writings of Paul in the Bible and see about just being free by reading that word of God." And Luther had a revelation. Revelation. One night, poring over the scriptures, he came upon the ones we read this morning. And a literal light-filled explosion rocked his world and changed him forever. "The just shall live by faith." Come on, I want you to say it with me. I want you to say it with strength. The just shall live by faith. Again, the just shall live by faith. He saw it. For the first time, he literally saw it. God gives the gift of faith. God gives the gift of righteousness. God, whose heart is filled with love and with mercy, justifies us by faith. And he saw it's not Martin Luther's works that would change his life, but we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. I want you to say that with me. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And maybe you're like me. I went to church almost every Sunday when I was a kid. I've told you the story before. Couldn't stand it. I was the youngest of 3 kids. Couldn't get out of it. My little brother somehow managed to get out of it, not me. And you know, as soon as that pastor said amen after that sermon, we were like shot out the door like a bullet. I mean, I never knew what a fellowship hall is. We're going to go to the fellowship hall. What's a fellowship hall? I don't know what a fellowship hall is. All I knew is I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand going to church until I gave my life to Jesus. Because all of a sudden the Word of God came alive, and all of a sudden something made sense. But it wasn't until I knew I was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I tried to do plenty of good works, but I could never, you know, you can't roll an egg around by your nose through the parking lot laying down enough laps to get righteous. All you do is tear up your clothes and mess up your nose. Hey, that rhymed. Anyway. An angry man was absolutely delivered in a heartbeat. Yep. After 10 years of striving to find out what the truth was, he discovered God wasn't angry and God wasn't vengeful and God was filled with love. Yes, judgment is true according to the scriptures, but the heart of God is that no one should perish. That's what the Bible says. The heart of God is to express his love, and the earthquake of change and truth and understanding made Martin Luther a man who was changed and wanted to share that change with people all around him. The Pope and the church got so angry at Martin Luther for talking about it's not indulgences, it's not your works, but it's being saved by faith through Jesus Christ and through his grace alone. They got so angry at him for preaching that, that they demanded he recant. But Jesus had changed his life. Some of you have heard the story before. Let me read some of his words. As he stood years down the road, he wrote a little pamphlet. The 95 Theses wasn't intended to be anything but a discussion. It got printed in a pamphlet form so people could read it. It got sent around the known world within just a matter of weeks and months. And pretty soon, you know, it got all the way up to the Pope and everybody else. They were angry with him and they finally demanded him come in for a hearing. And they demanded he recant, and he said, unless I'm refuted and convicted by testimonies of scriptures or by clear arguments, I am conquered. I am conquered by the holy scriptures quoted by me. And my conscience is bound in the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is unsafe and dangerous to do anything against the conscience. They literally hurled accusation after accusation against this man of God. And he said, here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. So help me God. Amen. He was excommunicated. He was condemned as a heretic. He lived out much of his life in hiding. He translated the Bible into German for the German people. And spiritual life never turned back. Forever change things. One man changed by Jesus and the Word. You look into his history, he wasn't a perfect man. He had some things that are really seriously flawed. But he literally created a spiritual earthquake that we are living in the benefits of today. Now Luther stood on the shoulders of great men. You know some of these names. John Wycliffe. The Wycliffe organization. Goes into little-known villages and lives with the people and writes a translation of the Bible in their language after they learn the language. It's an astounding ministry, and their lives are in harm's way every single day as they go into these jungles and into these places. But listen, today you read the Word of God. Hold up your Bible, would you? Hold up your Bible. Today you read your Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible, did you bring your smartphone? Hold up your smartphone. Most of you have an application of the Bible on your smartphone. You have these in your hands because of John Wycliffe. He's the one who did that for you. Your smartphone. No, I'm kidding. All right. Bad joke, but with an incredible education. This guy was brilliant, literally brilliant. And he had a doctorate of divinity. He was a Catholic priest. He had a brilliant mind. He was a studier of the scripture. And he was so burdened about the fact that the church of his day was so corrupt that he began to speak about it. He began to write about it. He was grieved that the Pope and those who claimed that St. Peter was their example didn't live by the example of St. Peter. He held to the Bible. And he had several statements. To ignore scripture, he said, is to ignore Christ. The whole authority, the church of the day, listen now to the difference. The church of the day said, the whole authority of the scripture depends upon the church. And he said, he roared. That's right. Back one. in Scripture, thank you, is all truth. The church derives its authority from the Word of God and not the other way around. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
This may sound just like history this morning, but I'm telling you, we stand on the same shoulders of people who, as one man, or even, not even, but one woman, who stood for the truth of Jesus Christ and stood for the Word of God. I have these men to talk about this morning as the reformers. The women of God that we've met, we have met apostolic women who in Asia had thousands of churches under them, filled with power and anointing. You know, listen, guys, I love women pastors. I married one. I love women in authority and men in authority because I believe both together reflect the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
So I don't think that the Bible cuts off half of the population just because of your being a male or a female. The Bible says there's neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
A few of you got quiet on that one, but that's okay. To ignore Scripture is to ignore Christ. He roared the truth. He was grieved that the Bible was held in secret from the people. He was convinced that the priests of the day kept the people in spiritual ignorance. So in the 1370s and early 80s, he began translating the Latin Vulgate into the English language. He worked alone. He was abused. He was slandered. He was hated. He was viewed as a heretic. He was kicked out of Oxford. He was branded an instrument of the devil, an enemy of the church, an author of schism. But he persevered. In 1382, Wycliffe was the first to translate the New Testament into English. 2 years later, the entire Bible was translated into English. Listen to this. On the flyleaf of the book he wrote were these words. The Bible is translated and shall make possible, listen, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Abraham Lincoln was not the first person to speak those words. He spoke them 500 years after John Wycliffe had spoken those words. And it was because of the power of the Word of God in a language we could understand. 30 years after John Wycliffe's death, they undug his bones and burned them at papacy demand. But the message spread. Number two, John Huss. John Huss. John Huss was born of Czech parents in the what is now the Czech Republic in 1369. By the way, Huss means goose. Can you say it with me? Goose.
Goose.
He was unparalleled in his authority. You know, it was so fun to read the history. I love history, but it was so cool to read the history. As this man may not have been as brilliant as these forerunners we just spoke about, but no one could touch him in the authority and the eloquence of his passionate preaching from the pulpit in the Czech Republic. He spoke with fiery passion, and he blew on the coals that Wycliffe had started. He was a professor at the university and a Roman Catholic priest, and he was the rector of Prague's National Church, held 3,000 people. We think of big churches today. In that day, in 1369, around that time, he was the rector of a church of 3,000 people, and the place was packed to the rafters every Sunday morning, and he would speak in the Czech language, not in Latin, as he was instructed and supposed to do. And he made the priesthood over him very, very angry, and he would get in a lot of trouble, but he wanted the people to know Jesus and to understand the Word of God. He spoke out against the poison in the church. He refused to recant. Like the others, he got so angry at the indulgences being sold that he would literally thunder about them from the pulpit. And the sales of indulgences in his town, his nation, dried up. If you don't think that got him in a lot of hot water. Finally, he was excommunicated. His health was literally broken and they starved him. But he refused to recant. He continued. And they called his crime Wycliffeism. He was guilty of preaching that the Bible is the final and ultimate authority of truth. And he said these words, "If you can show me from the Scriptures my error, I will immediately recant. If you cannot, I won't." They could not, and he did not. He was declared a heretic. He was stripped of his pulpit and his priesthood. He was condemned to die, literally by burning at the stake. That, by the way, sincerely, is the first time you ever heard the phrase, his goose was cooked. His name meant goose, and that's where that came from. His goose was cooked. But the man of God stood strong. 100 years later comes Martin Luther. Jesus changed him. And all he did was stand up for the truth. What can one person do? One person, surrender to Jesus. Understanding and holding to the Word of God, the Bible, as the Word of truth. Knowing that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, not by works of righteousness that you can do. One person can literally change the world. We are surrounded by an area that, if they want to acknowledge Jesus at all, it's Jesus and many other things. Or Jesus was a nice teacher. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only Son of God who died for you, for me, who took your sins and mine upon the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, with his hands outstretched, impaled upon a wicked wooden beam, brutally tortured for you and for me. And he said, Father, forgive them. As he looked down through the corridor of time, and he saw you, and he saw me, and he said, I love them, and I forgive them. They buried him. They rolled that stone over the tomb. They said, we put him away from us now. We don't need to worry about this one. If I can put Jesus far enough away, I don't have to worry about what he means to me or his claims in my life. I can do what I want. I can live what I want. I can go where I want. I can say what I want. It doesn't matter, because after all, I put Jesus where he belongs, away from me, so I can't see him. And Jesus said, well, hang on. And Father said, rise again. And out from the grave he came. Hallelujah! Out from the grave he arose. As a mighty triumph over his foes. And now, we're not saved because you can earn it or I can deserve it. We're saved only by the blood of Jesus and his gracious love and his mercy. And he loves you so much. Right here today, he knows you're right here. He knows the hairs on your head or the lack thereof. He knows you. He knows if your hair is black or white or yellow. He knows your background. He knows the hurts. He knows the joys and triumphs of your life and mine. And he loves you so much. And Martin Luther, John Huss, John Wycliffe, each at their time, literally changed the world. Zwingli took the church to Switzerland. Philip Melanchthon spread Luther's message more effectively than Luther did. He lit the torch of John Calvin, who became the chief theologian of the Reformation. And then came John Knox of Scotland. And Queen Mary of Scotland literally said, I fear his pulpit, John Knox's pulpit, more than I fear all the armies of England. Person to person, village to village, nation to nation. And the old world came to the new world with God's word pounding in the hearts of our pilgrim and Puritan forefathers, who were charged and brought to life again by their own great awakening revival that spread throughout the colonies and the land. An incredible revival birthed in the heart of many and most, with truths that beat in the heart of our forefathers in our own nation. What can one person do? You can change the world. How do I do that? How do I apply that? Let me close with giving you four simple points. Number one, keep Jesus number one. Come on, keep Jesus number one. You know, they didn't all of a sudden rise up and say, I'm going to be a great leader now. They simply held Jesus first and foremost, and they wouldn't give up on him, no matter how rough it got. Number two, let Jesus be more important than your popularity. Ouch. Keep Jesus first, Let Jesus be more important than who you get along with and who approves of you. Luther didn't change his beliefs depending on who he was with. When Jesus changes you completely and he grips your soul and you're so thankful and alive and thanksgiving to be with him and love him and you know he's forgiven you, you can't give up on him. You see Jesus and not the cost of your commitment. He incredibly loved you and me. The Bible says love him that way, Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, say it with me, to stand. Number three, believe the Bible and hold on to it. Hold on to the Bible. Amen. Read it, study it. Put it in your soul and walk it out as best as you can. Well, I'm not perfect, Pastor Kev. I can't do that. None of us are. So that's why we meet together in a community of people to help each other and pray for each other and encourage each other in the Word of God. And we talk about the Word and we love the Word and we share the Word and we preach the Word and teach the Word and listen to the Word and we grow in the Word of God so the Word of God can change us to be more like Him. You know, the Holy Spirit promises. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need in that moment you need them. The Holy Spirit will give you the words in that hour. Number four, celebrate. Come on, everybody, say it with me. Celebrate. Celebrate. You're saved by grace through faith. There's a party in there somewhere. Because the good news is Jesus has saved you by His grace. He's redeemed you. He loves you. He loves you. He cares. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. And that flame of the Reformation burns on. Amen. Let Jesus burn in your hearts today. And you can be the spark of revival that continues. Reach one, who in turn reaches somebody else, who then in turn reaches somebody else about the good news of Jesus. Good news. Good news. You reach your family, your neighborhood, your community, your state, your nation, and the world. One person can and did change the world. And through him, we still can today. Amen? Stand with me, would you please? Now, if you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus, this is your day to do it. Because he loves you so much. If you already have given your life to Jesus, it's a day of celebration. And we thank God, not just as a history lesson, we thank God for the truth that has come down through the ages to you and to me. Now, if you need to give your life to the Lord today, we'll be right here. There'll be a team of people here to pray for you. There'll be some people right over here as the service concludes. Will be honored to pray for you if you have a prayer request or a need or you want to give your life to Jesus. Don't leave without asking or receiving that opportunity for prayer. If you need healing in your body, there's a team of people who are here to pray for you because we believe God heals and He is so good. He's worthy of our praise, isn't He?
Amen.
He alone is worthy. How many are glad for the good news in Jesus?
Yes.
Me too. We're so glad that you've been with us this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you to come back. Next Sunday morning, we'll be right here. And we're going to celebrate in the Lord again. The Lord spoke in a theme all morning long. Pastor Sherry, with her opening this morning, so profound. We've had the opportunity to worship and to look into the Word of God together. And the Lord knows you. And He loves you. And that's why He's spoken these things this morning. I pray that as you go, you don't forget these things and let them drop, but that you walk with a gratitude for all that He's done, because He is so good. Is He not, church?
Yes.
Raise your hands and we'll pray and then give the blessing. Father, we thank you for being a God who is so gracious, so kind, so alive, so good to us. And Lord, we thank you that the truth resonates in our spirits. We are saved by grace through faith. The just shall live by faith. Jesus, you alone are the only Savior, and we worship you, Lord. The Bible says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord and celebrate.